the worries, all the concerns, all the fears of the world. Maybe you owe money, maybe you have medical concerns, maybe you're worried about a relationship concern, maybe you're trying to find a job, maybe you're trying to find a place to stay. Whatever your worry is, whatever your concern is, just let it fade away. Just don't worry about it. God's going to take care of it. We all need to learn how to fear the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray, Father God, that everything, every word that I say, Father God, is anointed by you, Father God. I pray, Lord, that I have less of me and more of you, Father God. I pray, Lord, that I leave my pride behind, Father God. And I pray that the word of the Lord, your word, Father God, reaches the ears of people that need it, Father God, desperately, Lord. Thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you so much. In your name we pray, amen. Amen, amen and amen and amen. And amen, and amen, and amen. Tonight, we're going to do an amazing teaching that's going to be on fearing the Lord. And I want to jump into the teaching first, and then we can do praise reports and all that afterwards, because I know that people are in a hurry and stuff, and I know that care group went a little bit late today. So that's fantastic, in a way. Because we get to jump right into the Word of God. Let's go ahead and everybody grab a Bible. And let's get into the Word of the Lord. Does everybody have a Bible? Okay, cool.
Oh, okay.
Do you have one on your phone? Oh, no, electronic Bibles are encouraged. We can't play the find it first verse.
What do you want? Oh, let me get it for you.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Let's read a couple scriptures about fearing the Lord, because I think that people are really not getting the fear of the Lord. I think they literally mean that we have to fear God and be afraid of God, and that fear and overpowering of the Almighty One keeps us all in submission to God. And that's not the way that it is. Fearing the Lord is a sign of respect. But let's go over some scriptures. Let's go to Psalms 112, verses 1 through 2.
Psalm what?
Psalms 112, 1 through 2. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. Psalms 25, chapter 12 reads, "Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he should choose." Psalms 25, verse 14 says, "The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he shall show them his covenant." Psalms 31, 19, "Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men." You know, Satan has a really strange way of twisting God's word that it puts believers in terrible bondage. The problem with a lot of churches today is that many times they are used by the enemy to program the innocent minds of new believers. Satan drops in all these little demonic influences on people that are new believers or old believers or people that have even been there for 20 or 30 years that consider themselves to be anointed, to reprogram the new believers as they come into the church to trip them up. They are teaching things that are causing God's children to be afraid of God and run from him instead of run to him. Our modern translation, you know, of the Bible are done by the hands of man. And, you know, I will tell you that when I do my studying in the Word, I do it in the King James Version. because it's the true inspired word of God, and the original texts were completely, you know, inspired by the word of God. But let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Who's got it? Deuteronomy 6, 1 through 2.
I got it.
Okay.
Now, this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged.
Amen. The word fear in this passage above is translated from the Hebrew word yar, which means to fear, to reverence, to be afraid, to stand in awe of, to be respectful of. It is contrasted, for example, with 1 John. Like, go to 1 John, I think it's 4:17 or 18. 1 John 4:17 or 18. Perfect love casteth out all fear, where the term fear is translated from the Greek word phobos, which means dread or terror. Let me tell you something. The condition of the modern church and the tolerance of sin and wickedness is caused by a lack of fear and respect for God. I'll tell you that right now. There is a huge lack of fear and lack of respect for God. And if you apply a fear of the Lord to everything that you do, it will greatly change the way you act as a Christian. I know my three kids love me, and I know they want to be with me, and I know they want to make me proud. But let's be honest, without the fear of them getting spanked by either daddy or mommy, they would just be unruly. They would run around the house doing whatever they want. But are they afraid of me? No, they fear me out of love. They fear the Father. Without the fear and respect of parents, children would become insubordinate. In school, it's the same thing with teachers. When I was growing up, teachers could spank. You would be sent to the principal's office and you would get spanked. I mean, it was they had a big, huge paddle, and it was bare butt. Dude. And when it was a girl, they used to pull down
We're
the...
all too sick. This world's way too sick.
No, there's still schools that do this in the U.S.
How about pedophiles and stuff? You can't
see. When it's
administered, it's not like it's...
When it's... A girl, a little girl or whatever, you know, the nurse will come in or whatever. Typically, that's the way it was back in my day.
Did they do that in public schools too? Or just
they used to.
They still do in some public
Probably
schools.
In public. A lot of areas of the school. But I'm just saying, there have been studies where they have followed these kids around. And they are all employed with families. They are all working. You know, I mean, there is fearing. Fear is a great motivator. It's a great way to respect. You know, it has to do with respect and honor. A desire to please and a fear of punishment is basically what it is. Churches, denominations, or even entire nations which have lost their fear of the Lord because of tolerant, you know, they tolerate sin and wickedness are destined for failure. The whole duty of man, Jeremiah wrote, is to fear God and keep his commandments. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Look at the words that Jeremiah himself wrote.
Got it.
Go ahead.
Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion on the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man.
Fear God and keep his commandments. That's basically what it boils down to. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. What does it mean? To fear God is to understand God. We know that God is love and full of mercy, but we also must recognize that God is holy and by his very nature must judge sin. Solomon wrote in his Proverbs, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding." One must seek to know God like a person who seeks for a treasure which is hidden. David, who wrote wonderful songs, I love David. He was a songwriter. He was a king, he was a poet, and he was just an amazing leader. And he, listen to what David said. My soul thirsts for thee. My soul thirsts for thee, like a deer which seeks after water. God has promised that they seek him, that those that seek him will find him, and they search for him with all of their heart. When they do. Solomon also wrote, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hidden treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You have to keep seeking. You have to keep thirsting after. You have to keep fearing. Not fear because you're afraid, but fear because you love. Fear because of the discipline of the Father. Fear of punishment. Fear because you respect. It's like the fear you have when you were a child for your parents. To fear the Lord is to regard him in awe and utter reverence. I mean, David, in his reflection on God's creation, wrote, and this is one of my favorites, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, for he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. As Moses talked with the Lord upon Mount Sinai, there were thunders and lightnings, and a thick cloud came upon the top of the mountain, and the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And they said unto Moses, speak with us, and we will hear, but don't let God speak with us, for we will die. And Moses said to the people, don't worry, for he's just come to prove to you that his fear may be before your faces, so that you don't sin. Can you imagine sitting in the awe of Mount Sinai and witnessing the thunderings of God? And how soon we forget where you're living in a very, very sinful generation, a very, very tolerant generation that's allowing these demonic forces in every single aspect of our society to begin creeping in every single aspect, the entertainment industry, the music industry, even the medical industry. It's scary. What is being tolerated? And when it's tolerated for a few years and it gets to go on for 5 or 10 years and nobody challenges it, it sets precedent. That's what Satan likes to do, is set precedent. He gets a new generation hooked on a certain kind of precedent, certain kind of dirty programming, so that the minds of the children are influenced by this, and then they take it as normal. I go to a lot of homes where my friends have teenage kids, you know, and like my worldly friends, and they'll have the most horrible programs on, and the kids will just be sitting there texting while it's on. They no longer get entertainment from these sexual programmings. It's been a precedent. It's already in their mind. It's already boring, dull. Satan has already implanted on them that this is normal behavior. Those teenagers will not lift their eyes from the iPhone until the television set until they see full breasts or full horrible things happening on TV. Every new generation, Satan squeezes the envelope just a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more until we are all just walking zombies under the influence, living without fear. To fear the Lord is to trust him. To fear the Lord is to trust and believe him, to hear your prayers, to forgive your sins, to help, to provide, and to save. David penned in Psalm 4, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer, but know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly to himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness. What a great verse. Don't cut open an animal. let's offer the sacrifices of righteousness. Do you know how hard it is to sacrifice and lay up for the Lord a behavioral pattern of seeking after him, of fearing after him, of trying not to sin, of actually living a godly life, of actually for once not pretending to be a good Christian, but in the dark when no one is looking at you, when you're completely alone in the grocery store and something happens and you're put right on the spot, being a good Christian when no one else is there to hold you accountable. I went to Hawaii with my office recently, and I was completely away from any person of authority spiritually in my life. And I did not go out once. And it felt good.
Is that true, guys?
It felt good to be a good example.
What, one night?
It felt good to be a good example. It really, really did. You know? And I don't recall going out at all. I really don't. We went out to eat a couple times. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the longer you are, the longer you practice being a good example, the longer you think about fearing God, the longer that you really, really begin to fear God, everything you do is under the shadow of that fear, and it becomes available to you when you make your decisions. Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I stay away from this? Should I do that? Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. That's in Psalm 4, 1, 3, 4, and 5. David also wrote, "You that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. So great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Surely his salvation is nigh for them that fear him. There is forgiveness with thee, that thou may be feared. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him." When you fear the Lord, you're afraid of sinning. You're afraid of making him upset. You're afraid of being a bad example. You're looking out for a chance to be the Good Samaritan. It second guesses everything you do. When you get the kids in the car and that trash falls out on the street at QFC, it makes you get out of the driver's seat side and pick it up and throw it away. When you are in the grocery store line buying groceries and you see the senior citizen in front of you fumbling through her quarter drawer trying to get 78 cents, it's the buck you pull out of your wallet to give to this woman. It's when people ask you for the honest opinion, it's you giving them your honest opinion about something. It's all the good things that you do in the dark that reflect. When you begin to fear the Lord, you begin to radiate this wanting to please the Lord, our sovereign King, just like you would your father. So the big question is, you know, why does a loving God tell us to fear him? And I'll tell you that right now. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. We did, and we're going to read it again because I love this scripture. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13.
It's after Psalms and Proverbs.
Can I have the quote, the verses later?
Sure. Sure. I'll email you a copy. Who's got it? Let's hear it.
Missa has it.
Missa?
12:13.
Yep, 12:13.
When all has been heard, the conclusion of the matter is, fear God and keep his commands, because this is for all humanity.
Amen. Fear God and keep his commandments. Such a statement at first, you know, seems to conflict with other verses in the Bible, such as the one where John writes, God is love. But the apparent contradiction disappears when we begin to have a fuller understanding of the kind of fear the Bible is talking about. God loves us, and that love is behind the laws and commands he has set in place for us. One of the first things we learn when we begin to understand God is that he hates sin, and that those who choose to practice it in defiance of his law will die. So if you choose to go out there and sin sin away and spend your fleshly time on this earth doing bad stuff, you know what happens. That something's to be afraid of. When we first start obeying God, it could be out of fear of the alternative, death. But the more we keep God's law, the more we come to understand God's love for us, we begin to see that God's laws were not just a set of high-stake rules to follow. He set in place just because he could, just because he was God. No. We discover that he gave us his good laws because he knows that following them will give us the best life possible. God does not want us to be in continual fear of him, though that may be where we start in our relationship with him. I was really afraid of God when I first saved because all these things were radiating into my mind of the sinful lifestyle that I was leading before I got saved, and I was afraid. But mature fear of God means having a healthy reverence and respect for the most powerful being in the universe and the laws he has set in place for our own benefit. We should want to keep his commandments because we love him. Amen? Did you guys get something out of this?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
You guys are all like sober.
I think it's always good to hear that.
Comments?
About fear of the Lord? I needed to hear that. I feel like a lot of times when I talk to God, it's more of a friend or a buddy or it's like a God that I just turn on and off. Like, I'll be praying, and then a song will come on. I'm like, sorry. Like, listen to the music. You know, just not enough
reverence,
you know.
Yeah.
Just, I need to, every day, just step out and be like, oh, thank you for everything. Thank you for the sky.
Amen.
Continual thanking for what I do have and be in awe of what he's created and respect.
Yeah, I think that our society has just gone far from, like, back in the olden days, where it was, like, a lot of honor. And, like, honoring the family or honoring your
people
work.
People don't even honor their parents anymore,
yeah.
Let alone.
And so I love in Ephesians that it says that we are to walk according to the calling that we have. So we're to walk so that we can live up to the calling. And when you're a Christian, it's a calling, and it's a purpose, and it's a position, and it's not just like, oh, I just believe this. It's way more than that. It's like a position. It's like, and if you don't live worthy of that calling, it's not good.
It's just like, even just like being late for church and stuff, I'm like every Sunday.
Yeah.
And it's like, I freak out when I wait for the kids' school. But it's just so messed up that I would do that to God. You know, just the one day that I have to be there, and I'm always like,
I'm so guilty when I like skimp on God.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'm like such a loser.
I need to feel like more of a loser.
All right, well, let's say a prayer and end it. Dear Father God, dear Lord in heaven, thank you so much for this wonderful word. Lord, we will fear you out of love for the Father. We'll follow your commandments, Father God. We pray that you give us the strength, Lord, to change. The strength, Lord, to be the light in the darkness when we're alone, Father God, when we're out in the world. I pray, Lord, that our lamps shine brightly, Father God, when we're out in the world. Bright enough to maybe light some others, Lord, in the dark. In your name we pray, amen.